flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:08. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I'm Shaletta Brundage, and I'm the host of the show. Al Shock is in the newsroom making sure we have the latest on news, information, traffic, and weather happening in our fair city. And Jonathan Lowe is in the historic WCCO Radio building in the heart of downtown Minneapolis. And I tell you, there is so much drama and it is so exciting. I have to make sure I take my blood pressure medicine every morning and check twice a day because this presidential race is heating up. And Vice President Harris is meeting with top vice presidential contenders this weekend, one of which is our own Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. I mean, this has got to be a delight to political pundits and political experts who have been following politics and covering politics for decades. And so I had to get his take, his scoop, the 411 from my friend Eric Escala, the host of Almanac Friday nights on TPT and a WCCO radio alum. Eric, this is your Shaletta Show debut.
Yeah, I hope I'm worthy.
You've been around here a time or two. I think you're going to do all right.
Well, let's do it.
You got to just jump right in. You have got to be giddy like a kid in a candy store with all these political stories floating around. I mean, we could just talk the whole 3 hours about this presidential race, the congressional districts that are up for grabs, the vice presidential candidate picking and vetting. This is fun stuff.
Yeah, business is picking up, isn't it, Shaletta? You dove right in today in the morning paper. I don't know if you've told the listeners about it, but you've staked your claim in the firmly in the Governor Walz for vice president camp.
Well, you know, I bring a unique perspective, and I was thinking about this. I was having lunch earlier this week with a fellow University of Minnesota professor, Sarah Gullist. She and I were sitting, and we were talking, and you know what's been going on all week. Everybody who's ever taken a picture with Tim Walz is posting it on the social media timeline, right? Because we want to let everybody know we know the governor, right?
Right.
And so she was showing
you at the State of the State.
He did. He did. And so she was showing her pictures and I was showing my pictures and she was saying, well, I think that he makes a good vice presidential candidate because he's a teacher. He's a former military veteran and he's, you know, he's a dad. He's a husband. And I said, well, you know what? I think he makes a good vice presidential candidate because he's had a history of supporting black women. And And it clicked in my mind at that moment that I needed to write a column about this because she had no idea what I was talking about. And this man signed the Crown Act, Juneteenth as a state holiday, you know, Family Separation Act. And, you know, he was right there with me when I created Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol and addressed health disparities when I told him I wasn't going to get vaccinated because I didn't trust the healthcare system. And so just over time, I've seen this man support women of color, you know, naming Peggy Flanagan to be the lieutenant governor, the highest ranking Native American legislator in the country. And just to see that history and that pattern lets me know that he can support this president because she's going to be glad as night. He got to be the pip. OK, this is not.
How do you think he stacks up as second in command to Lieutenant to Vice President Harris? Do you think they make a good team, a compatible team?
I do. I really do, Eric. And like I said, I do because. You know, and it's sad, but in this day and age, there are still a lot of white men who have not had a lot of experience with strong black female leaders. And so he doesn't have a learning curve in that area. And he understands our struggles. He understands how to support a black woman. And that's going to be key. And I don't know if Eric Holder's firm is asking that question, but I need to see a track record. How do you support black women? And if they don't know, if they never work with a black woman, never work for a black woman, I don't know if those people should be the person who's picked.
How should Kamala Harris play the racial identity and the gender issues that are coming up? How should she play those, do you think?
Okay, first of all, this is my show. I'm supposed to be asking you the questions. Okay, I have a long list of things we're supposed to be talking about, and you asking me the questions. You know, I don't think she should shy away from them. You know, in years past, Eric, especially, you know, if we even look back to when Barack Obama was running for president, you know, people were making a big deal about the code switching, and they were showing videos of when he would talk to black people and then when he would talk to white people. I mean, Ken Peele even did a skit on it on their comedy show on Comedy Central. And so, you know, they were very conscious about that, you know, and I don't think people are shying away from who they are anymore. I don't think that she is shying away from being a black woman, graduated from a historically black college, pledged the first African-American sorority that was ever created in this country. And also, you know, her other heritage, you know, she's not shying away from that. You can see the pictures, you can see the history. And you know, in years past, for black people to be accepted, I would say, in politics and in our careers, we had to be as white as possible. And those days are over. You know, we're just coming in, we're being who we are, and if you accept us, you accept us. And if you don't, that's fine too. But people are not code switching like they used to. They're not straightening their hair. They're not lightening their skin. We're showing up as our true, authentic selves, and we're asking that you support us in this way.
Okay. Your questions.
Yeah, I don't have no questions. You done sucked all my brain matter. I'm going to have to ask Steve Thompson if he can come host the rest of the damn show because you done came on here and questioned me on my show. See, that's why I don't like smart people on my show.
The theme song that they picked up, Beyonce, Freedom?
I love Freedom. I love Freedom with Kendrick Lamar. Now, had you heard Freedom before then? Because I know you do a lot of music listening. Now, had you heard that song before?
Well, I'd heard just snippets of it, but of course, I've been listening to the whole thing now, and it's powerful.
It's very intense. And this is the truth, and I'm not a crier, but every time I listen to it, I tear up a little bit. Because for me, I start thinking about people like Fannie Lou Hamer, who... you know, this woman was trying to get people to vote in Mississippi and help black people because that's back when they had like a literacy test and all this other kind of stuff to help them pass the literacy test. And I don't know if you know this story. You probably do. But police arrested her and took her to the jail and they gave the biggest black male inmate a baton and they had him to beat Fannie Lou Hamer all night until he got too tired. And then they went and got another inmate, woke him up, and beat her with that same baton. So she was beaten all night by two men with a baton. And then they threw her the next day into a ditch to die. And do you know what she did? She crawled home and then she got herself cleaned up. And you know what she did? She went back out to help people pass that literacy test so they could register to vote. So when I hear freedom, I think about women like Fannie Lou Hamer that they want to ban out of the history books and ban from the educational curriculum in schools because they don't want people to learn about her. I think about her and the sacrifices she made. So that song reminds me of her. So that's why I tear up when I hear, but it is very powerful. It is very powerful. You know what? You done messed me up now. I don't even know what my questions are. I don't know which direction we going in. And now we got to take a damn commercial break because I now still got to ask you questions about stuff. I hope you can stick around since you done took over the show. This is the Eric Escala Show. Okay, this is the Eric Escala Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. He done pulled a rope-a-dope on me. It's 12:20. It's supposed to be the Shaletta Show. I invited my friend Eric Escala, longtime political analyst and host of TPT's Almanac, former WCCO radio alum, on the show so I can ask him some questions about politics. He done asked me all the questions. Now, I can't even remember what I was supposed to say. This is why I don't have smart, just really smart people on my show. I try to stay away from really, really smart people. You done asked me to. Now, I got to go back to my notes, Eric Escala, because you done messed me up. And now I can't remember what I'm supposed to be saying. Now, we know that Kamala Harris is interviewing all the vice presidential candidates. Eric Holder's law firm is doing all the vetting with this Veep Stakes is what they're calling it. Do you think Walz has a real chance?
Well, I looked at the prediction markets this morning, which is kind of how the public is seeing the race and how it kind of serves as kind of a stock market type of indicator of who's up and who's down. And Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, is in the mid-60% likely, and Walz is in single digits. Now, that's not determinative, but that's just one measure where I would think the importance of Pennsylvania as a state and its 19 electoral votes, I would think he might have a leg up, but Walz has been extremely a loyal campaigner for Vice President Harris. He coined that phrase, the Republicans are weird. He brings some strengths. Minnesota should go Democratic. It's gone Democratic for president since 1972. That was the last time a Republican presidential candidate won in Minnesota. But there's Andy Beshear of Kentucky and Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, an astronaut, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, Pete Buttigieg, transportation secretary. So there's, six white guys ready to go.
Yeah, it's like the Golden Bachelor. It's like when I hang out with my coworkers at CCO Radio, I'm like, it's Chad, it's Adam, it's Dan, it's, Jason DeRusha. I understand the predicament she's in right now. Now, you said something interesting about the last time Minnesota went red. Trump says he can turn Minnesota red. Do you think that's a possibility?
Depends on the turnout. In 2016, he got within less than 2 points behind Hillary Clinton. Very, very close. And it wasn't that the Republicans did so well turning out the vote, but the Democrats kind of stayed home in 2016. 2020, there was a much more robust turnout in Minnesota, and I think Joe Biden won by 7 percentage points, if I remember correctly. So I think a lot of it has to do on the turnout and the enthusiasm of the voters. And this was something that the Democrats were really trailing when Biden was still in the running. And the enthusiasm, well, you could tell me the enthusiasm level seems to be really peaking now for the Democrats, and it had been close to zero with Biden still in the race.
Yeah. Now, we've always traditionally in Minnesota been at the top when it comes to voter participation in other states. Do you think this, everybody's saying this, they feel an electric energy. They feel like, it's time to go vote. They're less, more enthusiastic than they were before Kamala Harris, jumped into the race. What do you think will be, this time, do you think we'll still be excited and we'll still be, kind of up there with regard to voter participation?
Well, there sure was concern on the Democratic side when Joe Biden was still running. The excitement level was very low. And I've noticed, just talking to operatives and just to people on the street and Democrats that I know, they just say that the enthusiasm has just, there was pent-up enthusiasm to beat Trump on the Democratic side, and it wasn't really being fulfilled with Biden as the candidate. But mm-hmm. with a new face and a fresh coat of paint here, I think the Democrats' concern about enthusiasm and turnout probably have been lessened quite a bit.
Okay. Now, I have to ask you this because I was talking to a friend of mine, Kevin Berger. You know Kevin Berger.
Oh, sure.
And we were chatting about, you know, if she decides to pick Walz, we can already see that, the opposition coming back with the, you know, when our town was burning down, the situation after George Floyd died and how the city burned for several days. Do you see that as, you know, something that Kamala Harris and her team and the vetting process folks are going to say, you know what, this is too much of a liability. We don't want these commercials.
Yeah, I would think the George Floyd aftermath is a burden for Walz. I think the Feeding Our Future and some of the other recipient fraud that's from some of the welfare type programs that Minnesota has, and that's been well documented. What is it, close to $500 million in fraud through mm-hmm. several programs? That clearly would be an issue. How he handled COVID and the shutdowns and the mask mandate and the emergency powers renewed again and again and again. Some people may think he's a little too liberal for their taste. So yeah, there's all kinds of but he's not alone in having, you know, problems to overcome. So every one of these candidates brings their own issues they'll have to deal with. But he's got his share for sure.
Okay. Now, that's not the only political drama going on. Dean Phillips decided not to run again. What about that open seat? The district has gone back and forth between being Republican and Democrat. And, you know, so you just never know how this thing is going to play out.
Kelly Morrison is the Democratic candidate, state senator, OBGYN, doctor, seems to fit the district very well, particularly the moderate women in the suburbs there, the western suburbs. So Tad Jude is the Republican, 72 years old. He's been a very faithful public servant and run for a lot of offices and stuff. But I don't know, talking to moderate Republican women out in that district, I think Kelly Morrison is a good fit. But, you know, we'll see. As you say, it's gone back and forth. It was Bill Frenzel and Jim Ramstead and Eric Paulson, all Republicans that represented that district. So I would think Kelly Morrison has an advantage going in, but that's why they run the race, you know.
And that is not the only race that everybody is paying attention to and watching. Folks are looking at that 5th Congressional District. Don Samuels is running again against Ilhan Omar. What's going to be different this time? I'm just trying to figure out, you know, it wasn't that close last time.
Well, it was closer than a lot of people thought it was going to be last time. I would think, who knows, Ilhan Omar, for this is the primary, so the turnout, of course, is very important. I would think maybe Minneapolis and the inner ring suburbs might be for Ilhan Omar, the incumbent, and the western part of the district might be for Don Samuels. It'll depend on what some of the special interest groups decide to play, prevent money. Of course, it's coming up, what, 2 weeks? Is that when it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, one of the Democratic operatives told me it's closer than you think. I would guess Ilhan Omar, if you were a betting person, would be a safe bet. But, again, who knows?
All right.
Now
this
come close before.
Yeah, this is what I want to know. Does Amy Klobuchar have anything to worry about? Two Republicans, including Royce Weiss, in the state runoff to oppose her?
No.
Okay. Okay, we sure about that. When you said that real quick, you sure?
Yeah, no, what was the polling that KSTP had? She's up by 21 points against White and 22, or 22 points against Fraser and 21 points against White, or the other way around. But she's above 20% the lead in either against either Republican. So I think it'd be if Amy Klobuchar loses in Minnesota, it'll be a short night for Democrats around the country. So.
Okay. All right. Now, this is a very important question. I just got a DM. Somebody wants to know, what's up with the scarves? They are faithful almanac listener.
Watch. I appreciate the loyal viewer. Worn a scarf in the winter times since the 70s, and with global warming, you know, the months that I wear a scarf have been shortened up because the winters have been shorter. But I wear it to come back out of Thanksgiving time a little later, maybe, and be out of back in my closet in March. But I've always worn one and continue to do so.
All right, now you messed me up. I still got a couple of questions for you. So you're going to have to stick around for another segment because you hijacked my first segment. I don't know what you got to do today, but I want you to hang out with me after this next break. Is that going to be okay?
I've blotted out the rest of the afternoon to be on the Shaletta Show.
Yes, I hit the jackpot. You all stick around. More with Double E when we come back. It is 12:36. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Continuing our conversation with Eric Escala. He is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Eric, I just have to ask you, that Democratic convention is coming up in just a few weeks right over in Chicago. Are you making the trip? Will you be there?
I won't be, but I'll be watching it very carefully. I look at the hotel prices.
Oh,
near the convention center.
Mm-mm.
And it exceeds my budget.
Baby, let me tell you something. The parking at the hotel at the convention center exceeds my budget. It's ridiculous. They're charging like $60 to $90 to park your car at the hotel. So even if you drive over, you might as well fly and get an Uber. It's probably cheaper.
How quick does that train go from the St. Paul down to Chicago downtown?
You know, I don't know. Maybe we can check it out and just ride over there for the day and spend the day and then come back.
Yeah, 7-8 hours to downtown Chicago would be fun.
Yeah, that would be, especially if you got a bunch of really cool people on the train. That might be a possibility. There are a lot of people who were not initially going who are now going to be there because Biden has dropped out of the race. Now, I have to ask you, this is the conspiracy theory at the barbershop on Selby. I was at the Grooming House Barbershop getting my kid's haircut. Here's what the streets are saying at the barbershop.
Is that
they think Joe Biden had planned all along to drop out at this point because that way Kamala wouldn't have any competition and the Democrats would only have time to get in line and back her to be the nominee. Because if he had done this 6 months ago, there would be 7, 18, 50, 11 people running against her. It would have got messy, but they don't have time to do anything except support her. Do you think that that's a possibility?
Well, again, that's how it kind of turned out. I wonder if you think that the analogy or the conspiracy would hold if Biden had aced the debate.
Oh,
and then what would all of that happened if he had a good debate? Seems like all of this was triggered by his bad debate.
Yeah, it does. And Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you know, I've read some accounts, and you never know what you read is true. But that there were the 25th Amendment that you mentioned the last segment was, you know, mentioned that he could be removed with a series of steps allowed under the Constitution. And that was a part of the carrot or the stick, I mean, to get him out. But the events all seemed to be triggered by the bad debate.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I was shocked when I saw him walk out there. I was like, who is this old man? Where is Joe Biden? He just did not have any pep in his step. And then the thing that also surprised me was I didn't realize that was the first time we had seen him unfiltered, unscheduled, unprepped, you know, not a news or photo op, but just him out talking without, you know, a teleprompter all year long. Did you realize that? Because I did not know that.
I wonder if you agree with me that I wonder if the White House press corps was a little bit negligent in not getting to the getting these stories out. You know, the Wall Street Journal did a story a month or so, 6 weeks ago, and it was roundly criticized for being a one-sided account. But that story in the Wall Street Journal indicated that he was, you know, acuity wasn't the best, and he was had lapses and so forth. And I wonder if the daily White House press corps did enough to alert folks that this is what kind of condition he was in.
No, I don't think they did, and that is a derelict of their duties, and somebody needs to be held accountable, because this man is the president of the whole United States of America, and if he has having lapses in judgment, if he is forgetful, if he is getting too old to do his job, then somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to sound the alarm. It's not time to circle the wagons and hide things from us. We went through that with Reagan. We need and deserve the truth, because if he is not running the country, then my question, Eric, is who the hell is? I didn't vote for other people. I voted for the president.
Well, I think the rest of the barbershop scenario works out well, that this did compress what would be a couple-year process into, few weeks for Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And obviously nobody took up the challenge to challenge her in some kind of mini primary before an open convention and all that. So, I think a lot of what the barbershop scenario reports to say is true, but again, you wonder how things would be different if he'd had a good debate.
Yeah, and the sad part is that those people, whoever it was that went to him and said, you gotta step down, if he had a good debate and they didn't think they were gonna lose across the board on all the tickets, that they would have just let this keep going, keep happening.
You know what they say in Washington? If you want a friend, buy a dog.
That's funny. Now, I have to ask you this, because long, long ago in a land far, far away, Dean Phillips was out on an island, and he was the only one to say out loud what we saw in that debate was that Joe Biden is too old to be running for president again. And he went out there and he got the Dean machine. He got the bus. He's going all around the country. And they vilified him. He was the target of everything. And I don't know, but it just seems to me like somebody owes him an I'm sorry, because he didn't do anything except tell the truth.
Well, you'd say what? Right diagnosis by the congressman, maybe wrong solution, that he was the guy. And but he clearly, he was Paul Revere, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
And he British deserve an apology. I wonder if he might be a future independent candidate for Minnesota governor.
Oh. Do you think he's done with politics? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I work really hard and I try to warn people that danger is near and they don't listen and they slap me in the face, I just let them F around and find out. And I sit back and let the house burn down and then let them dig through the ashes for the family pictures. So do you think that he is done with this whole political scene?
Wouldn't surprise me. You know, he's a man of means, and I'm sure has many interests, and would have other things to do. And he may be so turned off by the political process that he never wants to see it again. But on the other hand, he brings some talent and some skills to governing, and I don't know that the Democrats would embrace him anymore, but you wonder, as a third-party candidate for governor, we've had that before, like Jesse Ventura, you wonder if that might be something that would interest him. And, of course, Governor Walz, if he's not picked for either the cabinet or the vice president, in case Vice President Harris wins, he faces a decision whether to run for a third term or not, and a lot of people wonder if this is the high water mark for the DFL, that they've accomplished so much, that a recession may be coming, that revenues may not be as much, that all of the expensive social programs that the legislature enacted with his help will become more expensive and require tax increases. So you wonder if this might be a time, and third terms are tough to win. Minnesota hasn't had it for governor. So there are a lot of things up in the air, and so the timing for Governor Walz to be a cabinet member or a vice president seems very propitious for him.
Okay, propitious. You're going to have to back up propitious. I don't even know how to look that up because I can't spell it. What does that mean?
It means timely.
Okay, so you can't just say timely. You got to say propitious, huh?
I'm trying to toss it up for your show. you demand a certain standard.
Now, speaking of shows, Almanac is going to be at the fair. I have not been asked to come back this year. I don't know what happened. I'm going to send Carrie Kennedy an email right now and ask her if I'm not wanted. That's going to be the title of the email, Am I Not Wanted? But people want to know what's coming up at the fair. Do you have any guests lined up? What are you going to be wearing? They need the details, because everybody looks forward. I'm going to just tell you that I go all around to all the booths, to all the radio station booths, to all the TV station booths, And I have not seen as much excitement and as much faithfulness and folks sitting and standing and coming. Y'all always have the largest crowd when Almanac is at the fair. Your fans, the fans of that show are so. It is 12:36. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Continuing our conversation with Eric Escala. He is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Eric, I just have to ask you, that Democratic convention is coming up in just a few weeks right over in Chicago. Are you making the trip? Will you be there?
I won't be, but I'll be watching it very carefully. I look at the hotel prices.
Oh,
near the convention center, and it exceeds my budget.
Baby, let me tell you something. The parking at the hotel at the convention center exceeds my budget. It's ridiculous. They're charging like $60 to $90 to park your car at the hotel. So even if you drive over, you might as well fly and get an Uber. It's probably cheaper.
How quick does that train go from the St. Paul down to Chicago downtown?
You know, I don't know. Maybe we can check it out and just ride over there for the day and spend the day and then come back.
Yeah, 7-8 hours to downtown Chicago would be fun.
Yeah, that would be, especially if you got a bunch of really cool people on the train. That might be a possibility. There are a lot of people who were not initially going who are now going to be there because Biden has dropped out of the race. Now, I have to ask you, this is the conspiracy theory at the barbershop on Selby. I was at the Grooming House Barbershop getting my kid's haircut. Here's what the streets are saying at
All right.
Barbershop.
I'm listening.
Is that they think Joe Biden had planned all along to drop out at this point because that way Kamala wouldn't have any competition and the Democrats would only have time to get in line and back her to be the nominee. Because if he had done this 6 months ago, there would be 7, 18, 50, 11 people running against her. It would have got messy, but they don't have time to do anything except support her. Do you think that that's a possibility?
Well, again, that's how it kind of turned out. I wonder if you think that the analogy or the conspiracy would hold if Biden had aced the debate.
Oh,
and then what would all of that happened if he had a good debate? Seems like all of this was triggered by his bad debate.
Yeah, it does. And Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I've read some accounts, and you never know what you read is true. But that there were the 25th Amendment that you mentioned the last segment was mentioned that he could be removed with a series of steps allowed under the Constitution. And that was a part of the carrot or the stick, to get him out. But the events all seemed to be triggered by the bad debate.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I was shocked when I saw him walk out there. I was like, who is this old man? Where is Joe Biden? He just did not have any pep in his step. And then the thing that also surprised me was I didn't realize that was the first time we had seen him unfiltered, unscheduled, unprepped, not a news or photo op, but just him out talking without, a teleprompter all year long. Did you realize that? Because I did not know that.
I wonder if you agree with me that I wonder if the White House press corps was a little bit negligent in not getting to the getting these stories out. The Wall Street Journal did a story a month or so, 6 weeks ago, and it was roundly criticized for being a one-sided account. But that story in the Wall Street Journal indicated that he was, acuity wasn't the best, and he had lapses and so forth. And I wonder if the daily White House press corps did enough to alert folks that this is what kind of condition he was in.
No, I don't think they did, and that is a derelict of their duties, and somebody needs to be held accountable because this man is the president of the whole United States of America, and if he has having lapses in judgment, if he is forgetful, if he is getting too old to do his job, then somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to sound the alarm. It's not time to circle the wagons and hide things from us. We went through that with Reagan. We need and deserve the truth, because if he is not running the country, then my question, Eric, is who the hell is? I didn't vote for other people. I voted for the president.
Well, I think the rest of the barbershop scenario works out well, that this did compress what would be a couple-year process into, few weeks for Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And obviously nobody took up the challenge to challenge her in some kind of mini primary before an open convention and all that. So, I think a lot of what the barbershop scenario purports to say is true. But again, you wonder how things would be different if he'd had a good debate.
Yeah, and the sad part is that those people, whoever it was that went to him and said, you got to step down, if he had a good debate and they didn't think they were going to lose across the board on all the tickets, that they would have just let this keep going, keep happening.
You know what they say in Washington, if you want a friend, buy a dog.
That's funny. Now, I have to ask you this, because long, long ago in a land far, far away, Dean Phillips was out on an island, and he was the only one to say out loud what we saw in that debate was that Joe Biden is too old to be running for president again. And he went out there and he got the Dean machine. He got the buzz. He's going all around the country, and they vilified him. He was the target of everything. And I don't know, but it just seems to me like somebody owes him an I'm sorry, because he didn't do anything except tell the truth.
Well, you'd say what? Right diagnosis by the congressman, maybe wrong solution that he was the guy. And but he clearly, he was Paul Revere, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
And he deserves an apology. I wonder if he might be a future independent candidate for Minnesota governor.
Oh, do you think he's done with politics? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I work really hard and I try to warn people that danger is near and they don't listen and they slap me in the face, I just let them F around and find out. And I sit back and let the house burn down and then let them dig through the ashes for the family pictures. So do you think that he is done with this whole political scene?
Wouldn't surprise me. You know, he's a man of means and I'm sure has many interests and would have other things to do, and he may be so turned off by the political process that he never wants to see it again. But on the other hand, he brings some talent and some skills to governing, and I don't know that the Democrats would embrace him anymore, but you wonder, as a third-party candidate for governor, we've had that before, like Jesse Ventura, you wonder if that might be something that would interest him. And, of course, Governor Walz, if he's not picked for either the cabinet or the vice president, in case Vice President Harris wins, he faces a decision whether to run for a third term or not. And a lot of people wonder if this is the high water mark for the DFL, that they've accomplished so much, that a recession may be coming, that revenues may not be as much, that all of the expensive social programs that the legislature enacted with his help will become more expensive and require tax increases. So you wonder if this might be a time, and third terms are tough to win. Minnesota hasn't had it for governor. So there are a lot of things up in the air, and so the timing for Governor Walz to be a cabinet member or a vice president seems very propitious for him.
Okay, propitious. You're going to have to back up propitious. I don't even know how to look that up because I can't spell it. What does that mean?
It means timely.
Okay, so you can't just say timely. You got to say propitious, huh?
I'm trying to toss it up for your show. you demand a certain standard.
Now, speaking of shows, Almanac is going to be at the fair. I have not been asked to come back this year. I don't know what happened. I'm going to send Carrie Kennedy an email right now and ask her if I'm not wanted. That's going to be the title of the email, Am I Not Wanted? But people want to know what's coming up at the fair. Do you have any guests lined up? What are you going to be wearing? They need the details because everybody looks forward. I'm going to just tell you that I go all around to all the booths, to all the radio station booths, to all the TV station booths, and I have not seen as much excitement and as much faithfulness and folks sitting and standing and coming. Y'all always have the largest crowd when Almanac is at the fair. Your fans, the fans of that show, are so loyal and faithful.
Yeah, they're wonderful, and we are indebted to them. I am going to debut a new pair of socks.
Woo!
One sock has a picture of Paul Bunyan, and it's red. And then on the other foot, I'll have a picture of Babe the Blue Ox in a blue sock.
Okay.
So my socks won't match color-wise, but there will be Paul Bunyan on one leg and Babe the Blue Ox on the other leg.
Okay. Now, did you mix and match that, or that came as the set? That's how it's set.
That came as a package out at what's the Minnesota shop out at the mall?
Oh, Minnesota, with the A-A-A-H in the exclamation point. Yeah, Minnesota.
It was $16, but I thought, it'd be a good shtick for the fair, so I went for it.
Okay. Okay, now you know what you could do for the fair that'll really trip everybody out? Wear a pair of sandals and let your toes hang out. See, you could do that, too.
Socks. That would be a little Golden Valley, wouldn't it? You know who's got the biggest windfall out of this thing?
Who?
Maya Rudolph.
Yes.
With her impression of Kamala Harris.
Yes.
She's going to be on Saturday Night Live every week until the convention, or to the election, I mean. And money just dropped in her lap.
Oh, my gosh. She just, they just bagged a Brinks truck up to her front door. And she is sipping on mint julep, cashing checks and counting dollars. Yeah, she's the big winner in all this. Yes, she is. Okay, I was a winner. You came on my show. This has been fun. I love you. And I thank you so much for spending some of your Saturday afternoon with me.
Well, don't I get a wonderful parting gift here? I mean, this is it.
You know what? So about that gift, I'm gonna probably
You're speechless. This is a first. You are a doer, Shaletta, not just a talker. The people ought to know how generous you are. You brought ears of corn over to the show last night, and you're a delight and a great, great asset to the community, any community you're in. So all the best to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being an ally. I appreciate the love, and you have a wonderful weekend, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You all stick around. We've got more to come. Baby, let me tell you something. That op-ed that I wrote for the Star Tribune that came out in the newspaper today is too hot. It is fire. If you have not read it, go online to StarTribune.com or pick up a copy of the newspaper and check it out. I'm going to just tell you, when the first line of your column says the most disrespected person in America is the black woman, you better just buckle in for the rest of the read, because I am taking readers on a ride. And I was at lunch with Sarah Gullist, a University of Minnesota professor. We met downtown at Edo in Washington. We were hanging out, and you know what's going on right now. Everybody who knows Tim Walz or has ever taken a picture with him is posting it on their social media timelines, right? Because Minnesota is just so excited about the possibility of having a vice president from our home state. We know that all eyes will be on us. People will be coming to town. They will see all the wonderful work that we've done as a state together across the aisle, regardless of party. And so she was telling me, Professor Sarah was, she was like, Professor Shaletta, because y'all know I teach over at the University of Minnesota. I don't know if I dropped that in right there, the little tidbit of information. I have a podcasting class over at the Hubbard School. And so she said, Professor Shaletta, these are the things that I think will put Tim Walz over the top. He's a good military guy. He's family man. He's a teacher. So he understands schools and education and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you know what? For me, the thing that puts me over the top, him over the top for me, is that he knows how to work with black women. He would be working for a black woman. They're not equals. She's in charge. She's Gladys Knight. He's a pimp. And this is a different type of humility that white men haven't had traditionally to do. Black women are on the support team. They're the support staff. They support the white guy who's in charge. Now, there's a black woman in charge. Can the white male candidates that she has at her disposal, of all of them, can they support a black woman in charge wholeheartedly without going behind her back, without, talking bad about her, without, snide comments, without questioning her authority? Will they be completely supportive of her? And that's the question. And so when the column came out, I'm telling you, it is fire. Folks are talking about it on social media. They're tearing up my DMs left and right. It's about 50-50. 50% of the people say they don't like it. 50% of the people love it. So I must be doing something right. And it's so funny because people say, well, this is so racist. I was like, wait, I'm a black woman talking about the good attributes of the white man. How's that racist? I'm a black woman saying good things about a white man. That's not racist. That's called fact, truth. He did sign the Crown Act into legislation, the Family Separation Act. Juneteenth is a state holiday, present and accounted for at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, up front and out on health disparities for women of color. Got the Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, the highest ranking Native woman who is in a position of authority in this country in politics. And so there's a history there. And so one of the comments that really got me was that from Carmen. She says she is a woman, black woman in position of leadership. And that's the first things that she thinks about when picking someone on her team. That's always top of mind. Can this person work with a black woman in leadership? So check it out if you haven't. It's free online. You don't need a subscription. And don't forget to check us out. We got two more hours of the Shaletta Show coming up. Baby, let me tell you something. That op-ed that I wrote for the Star Tribune that came out in the newspaper today is too hot. It is fire. If you have not read it, go online to StarTribune.com or pick up a copy of the newspaper and check it out. I'm going to just tell you, when the first line of your column says the most disrespected person in America is the black woman, you better just buckle in for the rest of the read, because I am taking readers on a ride. And I was at lunch with Sarah Gullist, a University of Minnesota professor. We met downtown at Edo in Washington. We were hanging out, and you know what's going on right now. Everybody who knows Tim Walz or has ever taken a picture with him is posting it on their social media timelines, right? Because Minnesota is just so excited about the possibility of having a vice president from our home state. We know that all eyes will be on us. People will be coming to town. You know, they will see all the wonderful work that we've done as a state together across the aisle, regardless of party. And so, you know, she was telling me, Professor Sarah was, she was like, Professor Shaletta, because y'all know I teach over at the University of Minnesota. I don't know if I dropped that in right there, the little tidbit of information. I have a podcasting class over at the Hubbard School. And so she said, Professor Shaletta, these are the things that I think will put Tim Walz over the top. He's a good military guy. He's family man. He's a teacher. So he understands schools and education and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you know what? For me, the thing that puts me over the top, him over the top for me, is that he knows how to work with black women. He would be working for a black woman. They're not equals. She's in charge. She's Gladys Knight. He's a pimp. And this is a different type of humility that white men haven't had traditionally to do. Black women are on the support team. They're the support staff. They support the white guy who's in charge. Now, there's a black woman in charge. Can the white male candidates that she has at her disposal, of all of them, can they support a black woman in charge wholeheartedly without going behind her back, without, you know, talking bad about her, without, you know, snide comments, without questioning her authority? Will they be completely supportive of her? And that's the question. And so when the column came out, I'm telling you, it is fire. Folks are talking about it on social media. They're tearing up my DMs left and right. It's about 50-50. 50% of the people say they don't like it. 50% of the people love it. So I must be doing something right. And it's so funny because people say, well, this is so racist. I was like, wait, I'm a black woman talking about the good attributes of the white man. How's that racist? I'm a black woman saying good things about white man. That's not racist. That's called fact, He did sign the Crown Act into legislation, the Family Separation Act. Juneteenth is a state holiday present and accounted for at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol, up front and out on health disparities for women of color. Got the Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, the highest ranking Native woman who is in a position of authority in this country in politics. And so there's a history there. And so one of the comments that really got me was that from Carmen. She says she is a woman, Black woman in position of leadership. And that's the first things that she thinks about when picking someone on her team. That's always top of mind. Can this person work with a Black woman in leadership? So check it out if you haven't. It's free online. You don't need a subscription. And don't forget to check us out. We got two more hours of the Shaletta Show coming up.